If you'd like to, you can take your Bibles out and turn to Psalm 102. We'll be in Psalm 102 in just a few minutes. We're going to be talking about some things that people struggle with and how God has the answers for all of our struggles. One of the reasons we're doing this is because the struggles that people in the world experience oftentimes find their way into the Lord's church, and we experience some of these exact same problems that they're experiencing. And another reason we're doing this is so that when people in the world, we see them having struggles, we see them having problems, we'll know where to go to help them find the answer in God's book. We'll be able to, hey, you're suffering with this particular problem, God has the answer for that. And we would have had the information presented in the sermon, we might have it posted on the internet so that we can point them in directions that will help them overcome the problems that they're having in their lives. We as God's people firmly believe that God has the answer to life's problems. And those answers are found in this book. All those other books that are written out there about how to solve life's problems, they're okay. But the greatest book we can ever go to that is complete and it helps us be furnished to every good work, it makes us complete, is God's book. It's Scripture that comes from Him and it's breathed out by Him. So that's what we're doing for the next several weeks as we look into God's Word and find out how we can overcome life's problems based upon what God has to say. Tonight, we're going to talk about loneliness. A lot of people suffer from loneliness. Do you notice the reading in the book of Job? That painted a very bleak picture of the situation that Job was in. We know that he had lost all his material possessions, and we know that he was inflicted with a great amount of boils and physical pain. But could you hear the hurt in his voice as he talked about how lonely he was? All my intimate friends have forsaken me. My wife even hates my breath. All the young children go by me and they hate me, they abhor me. He was isolated, he was lonely. And that was a terrible, terrible feeling that Job had to endure for that time that he was suffering. 3 points we're going to talk about this evening. First of all, we're going to look at how loneliness is all around us. Sort of look at the problem, and the problem is everywhere we turn, we find lonely people. Second, we're going to look into God's book and set and notice that there was loneliness in the Bible times. People in God's story in ancient times that we have recorded for us in the Bible, oftentimes they were lonely. And the third thing we're going to look at is we're going to look at solutions to loneliness as we find them in God's book. Glad to be here. Glad to be a part of our assembly together this evening. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you're here. We're glad that all of our members have gathered together so that we're not lonely tonight because we have one another. And we'll look at that a little bit later as one of the solutions to loneliness. Let's go ahead and get started. Loneliness is all around us. Loneliness is not the same as being alone. Many people could be alone and not feel or be lonely. Some people like being alone more than others. And so just because you see someone who likes to spend time alone, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're lonely people. Nor is someone who's always around people automatically not lonely. Because you can have all kinds of people around you on a regular basis, but still feel lonely. Loneliness really has to do with not being connected with other people. You might be around them, but there's no connection there. It's sort of the opposite of what we've been talking about on our Sunday mornings recently about authentic relationships. It's not having authentic relationships. So you could have a job where you're around a whole bunch of people. You could have all kinds of situations where you're in crowds, but you can still feel lonely. I think maybe one of the greatest examples of that are famous people. Famous people are constantly around other people. And yet, some of these people have a tendency of feeling lonely. One of the ways that you could sort of figure that out is, look at the songs that they sing. They sing about being lonely. And you have these people that at the snap of their fingers, they could have 50 people around them if they wanted to, and yet, what's pouring out of their heart? It's this thought, this idea that I am lonely. Elvis Presley was one of those people. He had songs about loneliness. There was the Heartbreak Hotel, and Are You Lonesome Tonight? If you go to Wikipedia, there are 98 songs listed about loneliness. And that's probably a small list. I'll give you guys a quiz. You ever hear that, see that, that show, Name That Tune? I can name that tune in 10 notes. Or I can name that tune in 2 notes, whatever the case may be. Well, I'm going to give you some words, and I want you to shout it out. Just raise your hand when you know what song these words come from. Just a castaway, an island lost at sea. Nobody knows yet? Another lonely day, no one here but me. Okay. Loneliness then, any man could bear. Rescue me before I fall into despair. I'll send my SOS. Anybody now? In a bottle? Alright, now a few of you know. Alright, so it goes on to talk about, I'll send my SOS to the world. I'll send my SOS to the world. I hope that someone gets a message in a bottle. Yeah, a message in the bottle. A year has passed since I wrote my note, but I should have known this right from the start. Only hope can keep me together. Love can mend your life, but love can break your heart. Walked out this morning, I don't believe what I saw. 100 billion bottles washed up on the shore. Seems I'm not the only one alone. 100 billion castaways looking for a home. So the third verse talks about, I walked out and I saw all these bottles washed up. I guess I'm not the only one that feels alone. Anybody know who Eleanor Rigby is? All right, a few of you know who that is. You probably thought that one was coming. So that's a Beatles song that sings about this lady being alone. Here's some startling stats. Studies of elderly people and social isolation conclude that those without adequate social interaction were twice as likely to die prematurely. The increased mortality risk is comparable to that from smoking. And loneliness is about twice as dangerous as obesity. Social isolation impairs human function and boosts inflammation, which can lead to arthritis, type 2 diabetes, and heart disease. Loneliness is breaking our hearts, but as a culture, we rarely even talk about it. Loneliness has doubled. 40% of adults in 2 recent surveys said they were lonely, up from 20% in the 1980s. And I found this interesting. I see we see where it's coming, but when someone recognizes it and acknowledges it, all of our internet interactions aren't helping and maybe making loneliness worse. A recent study of Facebook users found that the amount of time you spend on social networks is inversely related to how happy you feel throughout the day. So we have so many more ways to make connections with people, talk to people, text people, message them on Facebook, whatever the case may be. We have so many more ways of doing that than ever before, but we're still lonelier than we've ever been before. And it's so odd because sometimes we are judged by how big our social network is of people we have no social interaction with. You go to Facebook, oh, so-and-so has 300 friends, or so-and-so has, so-and-so's got 3,000 friends on Facebook. They must really be connected. And that's not necessarily true. We're using this type of a social interaction on the computer and electronically, and it is robbing us of the real social interaction that we have been created to desire and enjoy, and therefore there's a great sense of loneliness out there, even though we might have 5,000 Facebook friends. We still feel alone. Middle-aged adults who live alone have a 24% increase risk of dying of heart disease, according to a 2012 Harvard study. You see how loneliness is, it's really everywhere. I mean, look at the, you have 40% of adults say they're lonely. That's a lot of people. That's 4 out of 10 people that you meet would say, I'm lonely. That might not be true in the people that we run with and the people that we're associated with on a regular basis because of God's solutions. But you think about the people that you come in contact with on a regular basis who don't have some of the solutions for the problem that we have, then you're going to start seeing this is going to be an issue that we can help people with because the answers are going to be in God's book. Well, loneliness was also a part of culture throughout history. Psalm 102. We're going to start there in verse 1. Psalm 102 and verse 1. It says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble. Incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily. For my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. My heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because of the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I am like a pelican of the wilderness. I am like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. My enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me. For I have eaten ashes like bread, and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation, your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass." He takes some things that are out of the ordinary, things that you don't see in those places. "I am like a pelican in the wilderness." You don't see pelicans in the wilderness. And if you saw a pelican in the wilderness, it would be lost and it would be lonely. And that's what he's saying here. "I am like an owl in the desert." It's not normal. "And I am like a sparrow alone on the housetop." This sense of loneliness, feeling isolated with no companionship. Paul felt lonely at times. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, the passage that we go through sometimes talk about how John Mark was now useful for him and asked to bring the parchments, and we always wonder what those parchments are. But if you notice in this passage, it talks about how people have forsaken him and he is all alone. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, "Be diligent to come to me quickly, for Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica." And then verse 11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Get John Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak which I left in Corpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first offense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them." So Demas forsook him. Only Luke was with him. And he says, "At my first offense, I was all alone. Nobody was with me." But Paul wasn't the only one that felt alone or was alone, forsaken. We know Jesus was, right? Jesus had some very lonely moments. As a matter of fact, turn to Matthew chapter 26. In the garden, although he had his disciples there, and then he went a little bit further with some of his closest disciples, and they were there, they were asleep. And he was pouring out his heart to his Father, and as far as from a human perspective, he was alone, even though there were people in close proximity to him. But after the council sent those to arrest Jesus in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 55. "In that hour Jesus said to the multitudes, 'Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to take me? I sat daily with you teaching in the temple and you did not seize me. But all this was done that the scripture of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled.'" And then, ultimately, he was all alone. Matthew chapter 27, he's on the cross. And although we know that there are people surrounding him, ridiculing him and mocking him, and although we know that there are two thieves being crucified with him, in a very painful statement, Jesus says in Matthew 27 and verse 45, "Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me?" Alone. No followers. No relationship at this moment because he's bearing our sins at this moment. He looks up and, "Why have I been forsaken, God? Why have you forsaken me?" Loneliness is everywhere. And all of us at some time in our life experience loneliness. It might be when your last kid leaves home and you have that empty nest syndrome. When you send them off to college and you go back to the house and you go back to their room and you just, they're all gone. We're alone. We're alone together, to your spouse, you might say, because it feels different now that you're alone. Well, let's look at the solutions. The first solution, or one solution to loneliness, not necessarily the number one in rank, the one we're going to talk about, family. God designed families in such a way that we don't have to be alone. As a matter of fact, at the very beginning, it's really the first problem that God finds back in Genesis chapter 2, right? He's created everything. We mentioned this the other day. We've created everything. Everything's great. But he says in Genesis 2 and verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him." So you have this helper that God makes and gives Eve to her husband Adam. And now, Adam is no longer alone. He no longer has this position that he's in where he's going to be lonely. Now he has a companion. And then after that, God says, "Be fruitful and multiply." So not only does he have one companion, now he has children. And we know the Bible says, "Blessed is the man who has this quiver full of them." So you have a wife, you have a husband, and now you have children, you have a family. And what a great gift God gives us to combat this idea of loneliness by giving us a family to enjoy and live together with and to have a relationship with, knowing that those relationships are meant to last until we die. At a different level, our kids' relationship changes once they get old enough to leave the house. But we still have a relationship with them. They still help us where we're not lonely. And our spouse is there until we die. Psalm 68 and verse 6. Psalm 68 and verse 6 talks about how important families are to get rid of this idea of loneliness or living in solitary. As a matter of fact, when you want to punish a criminal who's already in jail, what do you do? What do you have left? You take away all their social interaction. You put them in solitary confinement. Take people away from them, and then they'll really suffer. Because, see, God created us for this need to have a relationship. And when we don't have relationships with people, the utter despair that we feel when we're lonely is hard to deal with. Psalm 68 and verse 6. God sets the solitary in families. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a dry land. Just look through the book of Genesis. Just look through Scripture and look at how often families have saved people from being alone. And how when their families are taken away from them, there's this sense of isolation. Think where Lot would have been without Abraham. His father dies. His grandfather's dead. But now he has his uncle, Abraham, who takes him in and takes care of him. And so he's not alone and doesn't have to experience this idea of being lonely. How sad was Joseph when he got taken into a foreign land? Now, obviously, being a slave would be bad enough, but I think a lot of what hurt Joseph, when you talk about when he's in prison and he asks the cupbearer to remember him, I've been taken away from my family without a reason. He longed for his physical family. And even though he was there, and even though he had people around him all the time, I can't help but think there was a sense of loneliness because his physical family was taken away from them. He didn't have that relationship that he needed to have with them. Jacob had to leave his family and go down to his other family, Laban and his mom's family. So family is one of God's ways to make sure that we're not lonely. When that family unit starts to break apart, loneliness is a terrible consequence. And we'll look at that later, but it's a consequence on the kids. It's also a consequence on the spouses, and it's a consequence that carries on all the way sometimes into our elder years. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, we learn that our physical needs, along with our emotional needs, are supposed to be taken care of by our family. It is a way God has established to take care of some of these problems. It's about a widow. Who can be lonelier than a widow? Her husband has died. If her children are grown, the Bible says, don't forget about her. Take care of her. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 3, honor widows who are really widows, but if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show piety at home and to repay their parents, for this is good and acceptable before God. Now understand, it's dealing with financial things, but I don't think God would intend on us to just put money in our parents' bank account as they get older and say, leave us alone, we're going to take care of you financially, and not take care of their emotional and spiritual needs that come from being a person in needing a family. In our society, it is often the elderly with no family that suffers the most from loneliness. It says 18% of seniors live alone, while 43% report feeling lonely on a regular basis. And that was a study conducted by the University of California in San Francisco. Lonely seniors are more likely to decline and die faster. That study shows that people 60 years old and older who reported feeling lonely saw a 45% increase in the risk for death. Isolated elders also had a 59% greater risk of mental and physical decline than their more social counterparts. If you go on to read that article, you know what that article concludes? The reason older people are feeling lonely today, it is the breakup of the family. Think about this for a second. The people who are older today would be, I mean, that over 60 crowd. My mom and dad, my dad turned 70 next year. So we're talking about people who had kids my age, a little bit older, a little bit younger, in that general area are the elderly in, according to these studies. What happened in the 60s and the 70s? We had a very selfish movement in our country where people only wanted to take care of and please themselves. Well, who suffered as a result of that? The children suffered. As a matter of fact, in that 70s time period when I was a kid, there was a term that was coined called latchkey children. What did that mean? It means children that had to go home and let themselves into their house because no one was home when they got home. We had moms working and dads working, and the kids, even though they had a physical family, there was loneliness there. And then when you add the idea of the divorce rate skyrocketing, it's those same people who were making those poor decisions in the 60s and 70s and didn't understand the importance of God's plan for families and combating this idea of loneliness and isolation that are now the very ones that are suffering from isolation and loneliness, because who isn't coming to see them now that they're older? It's the kids that they neglected when they were younger. And that breakdown of God's plan is making this idea, this concept of loneliness explode in our society. And they don't want a message on Facebook. They don't want a text message. They're longing for personal interaction and some companionship. And isn't that interesting? When people start feeling lonely because they have no human companionship, what do? They go out and buy a pet. Now, I'm all for pets if you like pets. Buy as many pets as you want. But I sure hope that we're not buying pets because we're lonely. If that's the case, we're failing somewhere. The family is one of God's plans for taking care of this idea of loneliness. But you know what another part of His plan is to taking care of the idea of loneliness? It's us. It's the church. God knows that we need people. And so, think of the brilliance of this. He establishes local churches where we can come together on a regular basis, see each other, interact with one another. And I know for most of us, it is one of the highlights of our week to be able to come out and be with those that we love and those that we care about and shake one another's hands and sing together and hear lessons together and pray together. It is a great blessing that God has given us that we don't have to be lonely because we have one another. Just look at all the terminology, the way that God describes us. He describes us as a family or a household. These are all worthy of other sermons and probably will come eventually. But a family. Well, how do we refer to one another? You're my brother. You're my sister. Back in that family environment. So God says the physical family is meant to solve loneliness way back to Adam. But then the spiritual family is meant to solve loneliness as well. So much so that we refer to one another in terms of endearment like brother and sister. The body of Christ. It says we are individually members of one another. And the illustration that He gives there is that we can't live without one another. We need one another in order for the body to function properly. The church is described as a kingdom where we are fellow citizens. Again, it puts us together in a community. We're citizens of the same kingdom. As a matter of fact, when a widow wasn't getting what she needed from her physical family, who was it that stepped in and filled in that gap? It was the spiritual family. God's people, the church that God established. Now, I'm not saying that God established the church primarily to take care of loneliness, but I can't help but think in God's great plan, there are no gaps, there are no holes, there are problems that the world faces that He solves through things like the church. And we know that the church has other functions and important functions, supporting the truth and glorifying God. But I think this idea of community is written all over the New Testament. What about all those one another passages? Think those are important? You think those show that that's God's way of getting rid of loneliness? Love one another, serve one another, accept one another, strengthen one another, help one another, encourage one another, care for one another, forgive one another, submit to one another, commit to one another, build trust with one another, be devoted to one another, be patient with one another, be interested in one another, be accountable to one another, confess to one another, live in harmony with one another, instruct one another, greet one another, admonish one another, spur one another up to love and good works, meet with one another, agree with one another, be concerned for one another, be humble to one another in love, be compassionate to one another, be at peace with one another, sing to one another, be of the same mind to one another, comfort one another, be kind to one another, live in peace with one another, carry one another's burdens. You want to know a solution to loneliness? It's being part of God's spiritual family. And if that family is operating the way that it should, loneliness will not vanish, but it will be diminished to a great level and a great degree. Mark chapter 10, Jesus is talking about the blessings that we get when we leave all to follow Him. One of those blessings, when we leave our physical families because of Him, is to have that physical family unit replaced even to a greater degree than our physical family. Mark chapter 10 and verse 29 says, "So Jesus answered and said, Assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive a hundredfold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution in the age to come eternal life. That many who are first will be last and last first." We've all known people who have left their mother, left their father, and their physical family have isolated them because they've come to Christ. And if you go over to some other countries and some other environments, some other cultures, that's even magnified greater. But what does Jesus say? In a spiritual family, you're going to have some replacements. You're going to have relationships that will help fill the loss of those physical relationships. So God says the solution to loneliness is a physical family. The solution to loneliness is a spiritual family. But most important, the solution to loneliness is having a relationship with God. Because if we have that relationship with God, we're never alone. Even though there might not be anyone around us, we still have that strong tie to Him. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. We have a statement there that where God makes a promise that He will never, ever, ever allow us to be alone. We know Elijah had a feeling of loneliness, which led to his depression, which we talked about several weeks ago. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, it says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness, be content with the such things as you have. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me?" And as Jesus is getting ready to part the earth, leave His apostles, even before He was getting ready to leave His apostles, what did He say to them? "I'm leaving you, but I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to comfort you and to guide you to all truth." And He makes the statement there, "I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm not leaving you." And as He's departing this earth in Matthew chapter 28, which is a passage that deals with the Great Commission, but at the end of the Great Commission, He talks about how He will always be with them. And Jesus spoke, Matthew 28 verse 18, "And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." God's solution to loneliness is God. God's solution to loneliness is His Son. If we have a proper relationship with God, we'll never, ever, ever be alone. If you look through Scripture and you were to think about who had the most intimate relationship with God, save obviously His Son, David would have to be high on the list. Would have to be high on the list. And one of the most famous Psalms is Psalm 23. Most of us probably can quote Psalm 23. We learn it when we're little kids, don't we? But doesn't that psalm give an impression that no matter what happens in this life, it doesn't matter, God, because You take care of me, and I have a relationship with You. It says there in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Back to our family environment, right? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Loneliness is all around us. Loneliness has always been a part of life, even way back in the Bible times, even among God's people. The solutions to loneliness are physical families, spiritual families, and a relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, it's possible that there are people in this audience this evening who feel lonely. Because what did we say earlier? It's not just because you're around people. That doesn't mean you're not lonely. When there's no connection, it means that you're lonely. Reach out. If you feel lonely, reach out. And if need be, tell the elders that. Say, I'm struggling. I'm disconnected. I don't feel a part of the group like I'd like to feel a part of the group, but as a result, I'm feeling lonely. Because we're well-intentioned, but at times we overlook things. And so if you are feeling that way, reach out to other people. Let the elders know, I am disconnected, I am feeling lonely, I need help. If you see someone or notice someone who is feeling lonely, then please reach out to them and try to help them. Let God's plan work the way God's plan should work so that they bring them in to the rest of the group so they feel a part of the family and they don't feel alone. Loneliness is a terrible feeling. And how bad would it be if you knew, if you overlooked all around you lonely people and didn't do anything to help them? So let's keep an eye out for one another to make sure that we're not feeling lonely. And when you see people in the world, if they seem to be lonely, if they're going out to fast food by themselves every night after work, and you always hear them say, I'm just going to go home and watch TV by myself, what a great opportunity that is to let them know that God has a better plan for them. God has physical families, spiritual families, and He has Himself that He will have a relationship with you so you don't have to feel lonely. If you don't have that relationship with God, you can do that right now. You can become His child. 1 John chapter 3 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called the sons of God, where we never have to be lonely. You can do that tonight by being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, having all your forgiveness, all your sins taken care of by the blood of Jesus, and then get in that family relationship with the people that meet here, so that we can help you along life's path and we can help you get to heaven. And we can help you anyway. Come as we stand and sing.